This because I watch my speech. Most of what I know, I never express, either in words or in print. Might I tell you about Soul Magazine? Tell you about that? For years, 12 or more years, I've been writing articles for Soul Magazine. This time, I wrote an article on, well, the real peasants. And then, my mail I received not long after I sent in my manuscript, a printout of the article already printed in Soul Magazine. And the editor dropped every reference to Christ being physically present in the Holy Eucharist. So I called him up. What happened? Well, he said the diocesan censor said he will not publish this article unless you remove every reference to Christ's physical presence in the Holy Eucharist. But I said, I'm just the author. You can't do that. Well, the editor said the time was short and the censor was insistent. There is no other way. Not long after, I made a trip to Washington, New Jersey, where the magazine is published. I told the editor, that was the last article I will publish in this magazine. How we need to know that it is the whole Jesus Christ. No mere symbol. No mere metaphor. It's not just Christ is God. It is Christ is the God-man. And man with all of his physical properties, including his heart. And for all eternity in heaven, as we'll all find out, some sooner than later, Christ is in heaven with the wounds in his flesh. Isn't that great? Now, back to us. How slow we are to obey. And how we tend to hold back and not give the obedience that our life and vocation demand. When the Midwest Superior of the Missionaries of Charity wrote to me, and then on conversation over the phone told me, Father, when you give our retreat in Detroit, which I gave, the last, I think, 2 weeks, be sure to stress obedience. The Vicar of Christ speaks. How widespread is obedience to the Bishop of Rome. Just yesterday, just read a few lines in a professedly Catholic magazine. First sentence, most Catholics do not believe what Pope Paul VI published in Humanae Vitae, that contraception is a sin. Only God knows how many believe that. What I do know, as I've told, I'm sure, some occasion, some of you, in 1968, when Humanae Vitae was published, the Bishop of the United States met in solemn session to decide on whether they should accept or not the teaching of Paul VI on Humanae Vitae, and their decision, all kinds of pious language, reeking with incense. The bottom line is, You follow your own conscience. And the conscience is your own mind. How we need to hear that Christ is obedient when he comes down on the altar and my 28th year in working for the Holy See. Rome's figures for the United States, they're not official because those will never be released, are over 8,000 priests have left the priesthood in our country since the Second Vatican Council. Most of our seminaries in the United States are empty. And how many young men have told me, I'd like to be a priest, but where can I go to learn the true Catholic faith? I don't want to turn out like Father so-and-so. Christ is teaching us what an example of obedience, even to those, no matter how sinful they are. Sin, even grave sin, does not deprive the priest of his faculties of changing bread and wine into the living Christ. Finally, love. Again, number one is Christ practicing this virtue in the Holy Eucharist. This is the great virtue of Christ that we are to imitate. Is there anything more that we can give to another person? That's love. That's why, hear it, there have to be. God had no choice except to create human beings in a society. Hear it. Love is impossible if you are the only person in existence. And that is why, hear it, when we say that God not only loves, but what does St. John tell us? God is love. Question. How many persons once more in the Trinity? Next question. Pause before you answer. Must there be three persons in God? Must there be? Is it possible? Would it have been possible for a God to exist who was only one person? No. To know that. That's spelled K-N-O-W. To know that is to begin to understand your faith. A solitary God is a contradiction in terms. That's atheism. God must be a society. God must be a plurality of persons. Shall I say it? God has no choice. He never chose to be three persons. He always was. There must be another. There must be others to even begin to practice love. Am I still clear? People sometimes wonder, as my students have told me, all these people, why did God make so many people? Well, my friend, to give you the opportunity of practicing charity. But some of them are very unlovable people. Well, that's the definition of mercy. Mercy is the love of unlovable people. Don't forget that. Oh, please, when you get home, you wives, don't tell your husbands. Jack, I never realized. I'm supposed to love you with mercy. Please, don't say that. Because in so many ways, you place such a burden on my love. So much for part one. Any questions, by the way? That's crucial. It's a great virtue of Christ that we are to imitate. Because the Eucharist means that God became man. Get it? He became man. So he might love us. Hear it. Not only as God, but as the God-man. Over the years, I'm not even sure whether most of my reading, percentage-wise, has been Catholic or heretical. I read all the masters of heresy that you can imagine. I've gone through Freud's, I'm not exaggerating, 24 published volumes, Sigmund Freud. What we need to hear is that God became man to love us, not only as God, but also as man. As one atheistic writer said, he didn't believe in God even, but he admired Christianity. Because he said, if Christianity did not believe that God became man, somebody would have to invent it. In other words, and among the ancient Greeks, and the atheists, of course, among the ancient Greeks, and as one of them wrote, speaking to the gods, especially to Zeus, you, Zeus, you tell me what to do, but you are a god. You are not a man. You don't know what it costs me to live the kind of a life that you, Zeus, are telling me to live. Am I making sense? God became man so he could assure us, I know what it means to be human. And what it means to suffer, what it means to be rejected, what it means to be unloved, what it means to be unjustly condemned and crucified out of love for you as a man. Am I clear? And this God-man not just is in the Eucharist, that is the Eucharist. Know ourselves. How hard it is for us to, forgive or love, true love, forgives. By the way, the one who typed this, typed from my own writing, and more than once in grammar school, the sisters spanked me. Don't use big 18-inch rulers. Spanked me for my penmanship. In grammar school, I wrote as legibly as I could because I didn't want to be spanked. So, it's my fault if it's misspelling. Love forgives. Love loves. Love gives up. And remember, there's always another person. Otherwise, hear it. Love is meaningless. Am I still plain? Love without another person is meaningless. And the more children your mothers have, well, the more, love you've got to practice. Oh, no, not again. Love gives up. Love wants to be united with the one who is loved. And remember, that union of two who are in love. Oh, how many hypocrites there are talking about love today. Love wants to be united with the one that it loves. And that not only, dear God, in body. In fact, and I'm speaking now as a priest, counseling too many married people. Their marital embrace is to be a manifestation of their deep interior love. And then their sexual relationship takes on meaning. Otherwise, it is worse than hypocrisy. Am I still clear? And love, therefore, wants to be united with the one who is loved and loved within. And there are two ways in which we love people on the inside. First, with our minds. Those whom we love are on our minds. And the more we love someone, the more that person is on our minds. Can I ask you a question? What one person is most frequently and almost constantly on our minds? Ourselves. There never was, there never will be, a commandment of God, thou shalt love thyself. So the person we love is in our minds, united in mind. Those who love one another think alike. And when a couple marry, as you married people, I trust can verify. I've told some wives, whatever her name was, has called her Lydia. Lydia, do you realize what happened when you married? No, Father, what happened? You didn't realize you married a man. Men think differently. Men, love is unity. It unites. How? In the heart. And we are united in heart with another person only insofar as our wills are united with the will of the one we claim to love. For a married couple, what she wants, I want. I want. That doesn't mean I like it. By the way, you'd have to like something to show your love. Anyone, our love does not want to suffer. There would not have been a Eucharist unless Christ had died on the cross. Who know the words of consecration? This is my body, which, who can finish the rest? What tense of the verb? Which will be given up for you. In other words, when Christ issued the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, it was the beginning of the longest Mass in history. It began on Holy Thursday night and finished at 3 o'clock on Good Friday afternoon. God became man so he might be able to die on the cross. But notice, out of love. And the dearest and most precious thing we have, remember we defined sacrifice. Sacrifice is a voluntary surrender of something precious out of love for God. What is the most precious possession we have? Question. Is it our bodily life? No. What is the most precious thing we have? Our what? Our own will. And this is what Christ teaches us. God became man to sacrifice not just his body, but remember, in the agony of the garden, who can finish the sentence? Christ is speaking to his heavenly Father. If it be possible, let this chalice pass from me, but not my human will, but thy divine will be done. And God manifests his divine will through so many human beings in our lives. In Christ's life, God was manifesting his divine will in the coward Pilate who condemned Jesus to death, in the envious Pharisees and scribes who accused Jesus of blasphemy. Christ recognized the divine will in the executioners who nailed him to the cross. Oh, how much work we have to do. All of this is locked up in what I thought we should do. And it's 3:00. Of course, we could continue for hours, but I think let's then take, pardon me, make generous Father Hardin. We will resume promptly at 3:15 by that clock. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our next class is on homosexuality.